Well, everybody, hold on to your seats today because we are diving headfirst into some of the most shocking evidence against OUR and Tim Ballard. A new jaw-dropping lawsuit has just been filed in federal court, talking about 183 pages of allegations. The stuff that we have is some of the most jaw-dropping things I think we're ever going to bring you. So we've got our hands on some exclusive audio files we're going to share, including Tim's lawyers explaining why his DNA is on his victim's skirt. Very simple explanation that involves gratifying himself with escorts. So much more. So is Tim done? Is he cooked? I'm one of your hosts today, Kara Burrell, joined by
Ryan Fisher. How's it going?
We're going to get into all of this. So welcome to this special live stream of Timmy Did What Podcast. All right. Welcome, everybody, to the show. Please hit like and subscribe, all of the buttons that you know that you need to do. We really appreciate your support on Patreon. All of those links are down below where we offer more exclusive evidence. But jumping right into it today, Ryan, my co-host, and I are going to take you through this new federal lawsuit, similar to the ones that we've already brought you in the past, but a whole heap of new allegations and a lot more severity to it as well. So Ryan, I'm going to kick it over to you. Tell us why this lawsuit is different than the ones in the past.
Well, the lawsuit is different because it's being filed under the Trafficking Victims Protection Act, called TVPA, which was legislation that was passed in 2000, I believe, to clear a legal pathway for victims of human trafficking to come forward and not be reliant on local or multiple courts in multiple jurisdictions. The tricky part with human trafficking, as I understand it, is it's trafficking. It's taking people against their will or under the pretense of coercion and trafficking them to other places for labor, for sex, for other reasons. And so because it's moving people from one place to another, it's crossing borders, it's crossing states, that complicates the whole legal framework on where do you file lawsuits, where do you file crimes, where you report crimes, and to whom do you report crimes. So for example, if somebody was trafficked from Utah to Wyoming, then who takes precedence on that case and those charges? And so the Trafficking Victims Protection Act legislation was enacted to clear the path and make it easier for trafficking victims to get the court and the representation that they needed when it crosses multiple jurisdictions. But also it does some other things. And I'm just going to read to you. This is what was also released with this. With this new lawsuit by the attorneys Alan Mortensen and Suzette Rasmussen to explain how this is different. It says that how the TVPRA lawsuit differs from earlier cases. This lawsuit is distinct from earlier legal actions brought against Ballard and OUR in that it is filed under the Trafficking Victims Protection Reauthorization Act, TVPRA. A federal statute specifically aimed at combating human trafficking. Unlike previous suits, which were brought in state courts, the TVPRA mandates that cases be heard in federal court due to the nature of the trafficking violations and the involvement of interstate or international activities. This federal framework allows the plaintiffs to pursue damages from those who profited from the trafficking, even if they did not directly participate in the exploitation. This is really huge because for trafficking to take place, it's not usually just one person trafficking somebody. There's a whole apparatus. There is a whole organization of some part, especially if you think about trafficking of migrants across the border. There's the coyotes. There's the individual that is leading the group across the border. But behind that individual is a whole organization of runners and vehicle drivers and money people. And so if somebody is trafficked, under this legislation, anybody that has benefited or profited in any way from mm-hmm. the illegal trafficking of individuals is now subject to prosecution. In this case, it says here, the federal framework allows for the plaintiffs to pursue damages from those who profited from the trafficking, even if they did not directly participate in the exploitation. Plaintiffs intend to amend their lawsuit to include such beneficiary participants in the couple's ruse as said persons and companies are revealed in discovery. This lawsuit exposes the truth behind the facade of Tim Ballard and OUR. Instead of rescuing women and children from trafficking, these defendants use their positions of trust to exploit and abuse and traffic women, the lead attorney Suzette Rasmussen and Alan Morton says.
Mm-hmm. So the greatest irony of all.
Go ahead. What's your reaction there?
I just said the greatest irony of all of an anti-sex trafficking organization just run so haphazardly, so shoddy. And as Tim describes it over and over again, not by the flesh, not by typical protocol and standards, but by the spirit. So this is by his revelations of how things should get done to save the kids. And in that way of managing it, it became a pro-trafficking organization in the end of it, raising millions and millions of dollars, something for many people to get very wealthy off of in the pursuit of one thing, but actually participating in it. The irony of all sad ironies to me.
Yeah. It's, he's being accused and OUR is being accused of being a trafficking organization. And I know that sound like his supporters are going to hear that and be like, that is the most preposterous, ridiculous thing that I've ever heard, that the very leader to combat human trafficking, the most prolific, prominent, famous face and name about to combat human trafficking is now being accused and charged with, I expect to be charged with human trafficking if he's found guilty. Yeah, that's, I mean, who could have seen this? It's shocking. I'm going to read one more thing from the lawsuit in this title page that identifies who is being named as defendants in this lawsuit. It says, today, Celeste Boris, Mary Hall, Sashleya Hightower, Krista Casey, Kira Lynch, Bree Ryder filed a federal lawsuit against Timothy Ballard, founder of Operation Underground Railroad, and other involved parties, including Matthew Cooper and Michael Parenta. The lawsuit alleges that Ballard and OUR engaged in human trafficking and exploitation of women under the guise of humanitarian anti-trafficking operation. It also highlights how OUR and Ballard hid the money from donors to accomplish this. We're going to get into that. That's really interesting. The complaint filed in the United States District Court for the District of Utah asserts that Ballard and OUR violated the Trafficking Victims Protection Reauthorization Act by manipulating and coercing women into participating in sexually exploitative situations and in providing free labor under false pretenses. Central to the allegations is the deceptive couples ruse tactic, which was presented as an undercover method to rescue trafficking victims, but instead led to the abuse of the plaintiffs. Yeah, so that's who's being named out, called out as actual traffickers. I mean, this is a pretty big deal. Those are really, really heavy, heavy allegations that if true, would be shockwaves throughout, the United States and the world, and especially the anti-trafficking world.
Yeah, especially the anti-trafficking world, because from the very beginning, I mean, we still get comments every day of like, who's paying you guys off? You guys must work for the sex traffickers. The only people who would be against Tim Ballard are people who love sex trafficking. And it's like, what if, hear me out, he actually doesn't know what he's doing, and that you've put all of your faith, time, and money in a narrative, in a story, in a myth that he has purposely built up so that he could do this exploitation, money laundering, and sexual gratification, racketeering, profiteering, whatever, the list goes on and on. People just from the very beginning, from a year ago, I was always saying like, think outside the box, guys, like the good guys are not always the good guys. They kind of put that stake in the ground and then assume you'll never question it. And with the evidence coming out, I think with what we're going to show today, especially, I feel like anyone who wants to see it, the evidence is really getting quite conclusive that it's the opposite. So
if you think about it, like Tim was placed in such a position of trust because everybody that donated to OER and was involved in this, none of the donors, the $1 million donors and the mom and pops, the families and the friends that I know, my own dad donated, have any, first off, understanding of human trafficking. So they're putting their entire trust in Tim that he'll be doing it in an ethically, morally responsible way. But also, they don't have any way of verifying that was happening, mm-hmm. unless people from the inside that are present and these situations come forward. And that's what's happening. That's what's happening in this lawsuit and many, many other people that you and I are talking with and that other people are talking with, some that are willing to go public, some that aren't, are coming from the inside that were there in person saying this guy is not what he claims to be. In fact, he's the opposite. In fact, people are being hurt that he's the trafficker and he's hiding behind this guise of being an anti-trafficking hero. And it's super deceptive. I mean, man, what, and sort of like evil genius, if I could say it that way, to, if you want access to doing nefarious things, be the one that is in charge of going after the bad guys doing those nefarious things. I mean, we see this in law enforcement all the time where cops are corrupted and fall victim to the to committing the very crimes that they're tasked with
100% with
prosecuting against and fighting against. So it's just part of human nature. It's a sad part of human nature that if you're in a position of power, then corruption is very prolific in the human story, in the story of this. So mm-hmm. it's shocking and surprising, but it's actually not completely without precedence.
Yeah, well said. And thank you guys for joining us on this live stream. Appreciate you guys' comments. I'll try to throw up as many on screen as I can. Super chats are always welcome. It's the dollar sign below to help support this channel and the podcast that you can find Timmy Did What wherever you listen to your podcasts in audio format, Spotify, iTunes, and of course, links for our Patreon with more exclusive content is down below. So what you're saying is absolutely dead on, and I feel like I have collected hundreds of clips at this point of Tim Ballard saying, like, how dare you dictate the kind of rescue a child needs? He's like, because you can't hurt my feelings. It's about the children that we're rescuing. And, you know, nobody wants to be the one who's like, okay, sure. I don't know. You are the expert. But that in and of itself, what Tim is saying so publicly on podcasts over and over again to try to shut down and smear his criticisms, that same sentiment is the exact same one that has given him the license and the power to say these things to the women, to traffic them in the first place. Oh, you don't like the couple's ruse? How dare you dictate what kind of rescue a child needs? So his tactics and his manipulations are honestly, like, is anyone to disagree with that? Like, what the women were told is still out there in the public on podcasts, on all kinds of interviews of what Tim says. His manipulations are very clear. You know, what would you do to save the kids? What kind of rescue do they need? You don't know. I do. So, you know, quit your yammering. So let's get into reading. I want to read the Fox 13 article, which goes into a brief kind of overview of what the lawsuit is about. And then there's a couple things I want to highlight and a couple pieces of evidence that we're going to talk about. Does that sound good?
Yeah, it sounds good. It's 185 pages. So we would be here a long time if we were to break down all of that. Yeah. So, yeah, I think the Fox 13 news article does a good job as summarizing all of these allegations and all the evidence. There's a lot to go through.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir. Okay. Let's see. So it says, let me move this screen over. A federal lawsuit accused Tim Ballard of laundering money to pay for prostitutes by Adam Herbitz We love you, dude. Thank you. This was October 22nd. This came out 2024. Salt Lake City. Six women have filed a federal lawsuit against Tim Ballard and the nonprofit he founded, Operation Underground Railroad. The lawsuit alleges that Ballard and OUR violated the Trafficking Victims Protection Reauthorization Act. Quote, Ballard and OUR engage in human trafficking and exploitation of women under the guise of humanitarian anti-trafficking operations. And then going to skip down to the claims. The women say they were coerced into performing sex, labor, and services for Tim Ballard's personal benefit and the benefit of OUR. They also say they were groomed and controlled to, quote, simulate intimate relationships as part of a, quote, undercover technique known as the couple's ruse. The couple's ruse encourages women to pose as Ballard's girlfriend on operations. It reportedly requires the women to develop sexual chemistry with Ballard while practicing for an operation. And even though a lot of these text messages of Tim and the women have been in previous lawsuits, I do want to get into a couple examples of what that looks like and how groomed, manipulated, coerced they were and what kind of things they were saying back to each other. Because Tim will always try to say, that was me being in my undercover character. You can't get mad at me. That's my undercover character. But we know that's not on Tim's burner phone. It's not on his Brian Black mm-hmm. character. And we have the text messages that literally where Tim will say, hey, please delete this because we're being too sexually graphic right now. Like stuff like that. So I stick around because I want to show you some of those text messages. The women say they were, quote, exploited by the couple's ruse and that in some cases they were subject to violent sexual assault, all while promising it was necessary to rescue the children. The women attached several audio and video files, which they say show attempts by Ballard to groom them. Again, we'll talk about those. In one of the recordings, Ballard complains to one of the plaintiffs how he is not being sexually satisfied by his wife because she insists on wearing Jesus jammies to bed instead of laying naked. Now, it just occurred to me that I do have a clip of that on our Patreon. So I could pull that up and I could play it here on this podcast if you guys want me to. Ryan, what do you think? Should we play that for the people right now?
Yeah, it's so bizarre. But sure. Yeah, let's play it. So I think people want to hear that.
Okay. While I pull that up, if you can read that on screen, do you want to finish reading that paragraph while I pull it up?
Yeah, starting with the recording.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, the recording is presumably referring to sacred garments issued by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Ballard has been sued six times by 11 plaintiffs since 2023. Four of the lawsuits are still active. Two have been dismissed. Five of the six plaintiffs in the federal lawsuit have active lawsuits against Ballard in Utah court. Ballard and his legal team filed motions to dismiss, but they were not successful. After a nearly unbroken string of defeats in every state court that has heard their cases, the plaintiffs are engaging in desperate forum shopping with the same allegations, which one judge after another has called inconsistent and unsupported by the facts, wrote Mark Eisenhut, an attorney for Ballard. What he's referring to is the case against Bree Ryder brought against Tim, where she was involved in a training and she got her face kicked in. A really horrible accident that was dismissed because she was signed a waiver prior to that training. So that has nothing to do with sexual assault. The other reference to a case being dismissed is in the protective order for Kira Lynch. She was denied a protective order because the judge cited inconsistencies in her story or that she didn't come forward right away with allegations of rape. That judge obviously knows nothing about or very little about how hard it is to self-report sexual assault and how it takes women and victims years sometimes to process what has happened to them and weigh the pros and cons on whether they should come forward or whether it would cause more harm than good. So those are the two probably that he's referring to about cases that have been dismissed. Those aren't the important ones. Not that they aren't important, but he paints the picture like, judges are throwing out all of these allegations left and right, which is totally bogus. That's not true.
Mm-hmm. I can play the clip now.
You got the clip? Okay.
Yeah. Also want to say thank you so much, Gene, for the $10. Is Timmy still running for Senate? Not that I know of. I don't think it's possible anymore.
Well, that you bring up a good point. I'll bring a comment on that. So after the allegations of sexual assault came out a year ago, September a year ago, that killed his political career, not because they're just allegations made. I mean, look at Trump. There are allegations made, and that doesn't clear. That didn't kill his political career. What killed his political career in the Senate is that people looked into those allegations and found that there was a lot of credible evidence, very credible evidence behind the multiple women that came forward. So that's what killed the Senate run for Tim. However, he's not taking that loss lying down. Sources that I'm familiar with have told me that he's seeking an appointment in the Trump administration and that he has gotten a deal or promises from possibly Rudy Giuliani and others about getting a federal appointment in the Trump administration if Trump is to win. And evidence of this comes from how Tim has been advocating and campaigning for Trump. He was at Catholics Praying for Trump, some organization like that. He spoke there. He was a keynote speaker there. That was held at Mar-a-Lago. He's gone to other functions and campaign events and did all that. However, I will also let you know that promise or hope of getting an appointment in the Trump administration was complicated very much by his attack on Amy Morgan Davis, who has family that is very well connected in the Republican Party and the Trump campaign. And so his attack on her is probably going to jeopardize that. I hope so, because he doesn't deserve that. He doesn't deserve to get a Trump appointment in the federal administration. So yes, to answer your question, it did kill his Senate run, but this guy's not, his political career isn't dead yet.
Yeah. So that's also just a really interesting angle about Amy Morgan Davis. We did a whole podcast about her about a week or two ago. I've made some videos about it. Former Miss Utah, and Tim was smearing her across his Instagram, saying her allegations were false, that he came onto her. And if somebody like her family is, you know, Amy Morgan Davis of Davis County, very well connected within the Republican Party, Tim was not thinking long game
about no, he wasn't.
The phone calls that could possibly be made to squash.
Amy's got power. She's got clout because of who she is and her family is. And he picked the wrong chick to mess with there, honestly.
Yeah. Funny, huh? Not such a long-term thinker. Well, all right. So the context for this, like I said in the lawsuit, this is just one of the many examples of, you could say, grooming tactics that Tim would use. This is a recorded phone call between him and Celeste Boris, his executive assistant, who is, you know, one of the main women in this lawsuit, alleging things, you know, all the way up to rape and her skirt that has his DNA on it. So this is a really important piece of, I would say, like, grooming evidence. And again, this is on our Patreon. And if you can't hear it really clearly, it has subtitles on the screen of it. So hopefully you'll be able to see it.
Good interview. It was a good interview.
Like Christians, like good Christian people. I hate to say this because, you know, I do have a love and a belief in the core things and more, but you don't see this. You don't see this feel of the spirit, the genuine, like, I don't see it as much in culture. You know what I mean? Like, they're just out there saying, Jesus, we're in crop, like, putting tattoos on their, you know. It's really, Mormons are stuck in this like little, like, I go to church 2 hours a week and I take the sacrament and I go to the my Jesus jammies on and I'm gonna leave.
Very robotic.
Yeah, it's like legalistic. It's like goddamn, this lady naked.
So he's whispering. It might be kind of hard to hear. He's saying that he says this to his wife. He's like, take your garments off, let's lay naked.
Like I said the other day, I'm like,
no, it was off. I just
can't really believe that, like, to spice up things, you know?
Talking about how he wants to spice things up with his wife, take off your garments, things like that.
Things aren't great right now, but you know, spice it up. Like, let's not like where our Jesus canvas is at. I've made a covenant with him. I'm like, really? Where's it in the scriptures that says you wear these? Because Joseph Smith was killed. I'm wearing them. Like, they're great. They're fine. They're symbolic, whatever. But it's like, it's not bulletproof vest, and
yeah,
it's not.
Do you say that to her? Not that, but.
I go there a little bit, but then it's just so. I have covenanted to wear them day and night, because that's what says in the temple. Like, well, the temple keeps changing the words.
So if you can't tell, I mean, there's so much more context around this is from the text messages as well in the lawsuit that I've read that we don't need to get into. But the way in which he also grooms, I would say, like his Mormon victims, these different, you know, kind of like suburban housewives and things, is that he is the spiritual giant. And if he is saying like, yes, I am a spiritual giant, but also there's certain things you can disregard and you can think of these things in this way. There's portions of the text messages between him and I believe it's Krista Casey in the lawsuit where she's very religious. She's talking about how she's like, you know, in between talking to him, she's doing family prayer and scripture study and stuff. And she's never sworn before in her life. And it's her first time buying lingerie. And he's like, oh, well, think of it this way. Like my wife and I and Catherine, she gives prayers. She gives priesthood prayers and blessings over our kids. And Krista Casey will be saying things like, wow, I've never learned so much before from another person. And so he's also, in one sense, distancing himself from kind of the more orthodoxy of Mormonism, but also kind of indoctrinating these women that he has a higher way, a better way, all along while he's doing this couple's ruse. Does that make sense? So I think audio like this is really important. I'll play a little bit more, but Ryan, anything you want to add to that?
Just the context of what he's talking about to his coworker, a woman who, you know, has since accused him of sexual assault and grooming and manipulation. This is all of that. This is all, you know, complaining about his sex life with his wife to this woman. And also like complaining about garments and complaining about his religion and stuff. It's and he's why is he doing this? Because he wants to spice things up. He wants, you know, something more salacious or more erotic or sexy. I mean, that's not a conversation you should be having with your subordinate under any circumstances. But especially under the circumstances where you're, you know, grooming that person to be your girlfriend or wife on the couple's ruse. So, yeah, is this enough to like sink him? No, but it really gives you an insight into how his grooming practices are perpetuated on these women with complaining about the sex life, talking about these things, and then, yeah, discussing this. Yeah. And this was accidentally recorded from what I understand. The recording was made by accident. They were talking and I believe she was recording some interview or something before that. I can't remember exactly. And it was just left running. And so
interesting. It wasn't
malicious, but this is the kind of stuff he says repeatedly, regularly to at least half a dozen women that we know of and probably a lot more.
Wow. Yeah. And speaking of which, I just wanted to, you know, I love just piecing together the patterns and the context and stuff. And another allegation from the women is also that Tim would, he'd smear like other couples or his partners. And then whoever was his like current favorite, he would try to like have them compete against each other. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Or like to try to outdo the other one. Well, they will go farther to save the kids. And so I think whether it's in context of like, hey, my new couples or his partner X, not only am I a really big spiritual giant and I'm going out here saving the kids, my wife won't even do the sexual things that I want. It talks about how she won't like do certain sex acts with him. Use your imagination, you know? And so I can imagine these women who are like, I'll be that person for you. These other women, they won't do that for you, but I'll do that for you. Will that help save the kids? Will that make you happy? Can I be in your best good graces? This is very similar to the, I think, attitudes around, you know, modern polygamy and polygamy of yesteryear of different wives and different like female partners competing to be the favorite by doing things and outdoing things of others. And if it all it comes down to is him just like casually complaining about what his wife won't do, if a girl will step up to the bat and do that, with all of this grooming and these ideals in her head of what that will achieve, it's very easy to see how Tim Ballard could think that he was going to be able to get away with this and get mm-hmm. as far with so many women as he did. Like, it seems mm-hmm. very like a tale of all this time.
Yeah.
Beauty and the Beast. All right. So if you guys want to listen to the rest of that, that's on our Patreon.
Yeah, that's his executive assistant that he's talking to, who is their job description is to make his life easier, to solve his problems for him, whether to book his travel, to make his coffee, to do his dry cleaning, whatever Tim needs, that's their job. And so then when he comes to complain about these problems in the bedroom, the job description, you know, sets the precedence for trying to solve those problems for him too, because that's what the relationship between an executive assistant and a boss is, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So yeah, listen to the whole context on that. The audio is probably better if you listen to that on its own with the subtitles, but yeah, it's pretty gross.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's finish reading. I need to find a way to add this. There we go. We'll do it like that. Claims against OUR. According to the lawsuit, OUR actively participated in the solicitation, recruitment, and exploitation of Ballard's couples ruse partners. The women also accuse OUR of, quote, cooking the books, instructing them how to manipulate work records so that they could take time off to spend with Ballard. Quote, OUR Rescue is deeply committed to combating sex trafficking and child exploitation, wrote OUR spokesman Jessica Carlson. Regarding today's federal lawsuit, these are recycled claims that have been dismissed repeatedly. We are confident they will be dismissed again. So we're about to get into the stuff that is even the crazier of crazy. But as many things of evidence as I can show, I would like to. So maybe I'll save this, or maybe I can do it now. I have the audio of the, what's it called? Cooking the Books. Should we play that one?
Sure. I actually haven't listened to this one, so I don't know. You tell me.
Okay. So again, the context around that involves, let me pull it up. So I wish I knew how to do this. One second.
Hey, I'm loving the comments in the sidebar. There's a lot of really good, insightful people and some pretty hilarious ones too. Keep them coming.
Okay, here we go. Thank you. So this is part of OUR's knowledge and benefit. Can you see this, Ryan?
Yeah.
Let me go ahead and read that and I'll pull it up.
Okay. OUR's knowledge and benefit. Defendant OUR, despite awareness and knowledge of Ballard's labor and sex trafficking, facilitated and covered up these actions. Failing to protect plaintiffs, OUR actively participated in the solicitation, recruitment, and exploitation of plaintiffs and profited by these illegal activities. In fact, OUR upper management facilitated Ballard's abuse of these women by giving OUR employees time off by cooking the books so that non-couples ruse employees would not know what the couples ruse partner was doing. This reminds me of the Amy Morgan Davis situation where Tim sent a text to Matt Cooper saying, hey, she's part of the training, but not really part of the training. I want to consider her staff kind of like off the record. I want to work with her one-on-one and see what kind of chemistry we have. So he was trying to hide the hours that he spent with her, keep it off of the record is what it looks like to me. And so that's just another one of these things that came mm-hmm. to mind when I read that. So in fact, OUR upper management facilitated Ballard's abuse of these women by giving OUR employees time off by cooking the books so that non-couples ruse employees would not know what the couples ruse partner was doing. The actions of defendants were designed to exploit the plaintiffs for Ballard's sexual gratification by having plaintiffs perform sex, labor, and services under the guise of noble humanitarian missions, which is prohibited under the TVPRA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's damning. All right. So this is between, it'll say as soon as I start it, can't remember the name, but one of the top head honchos at OUR.
Hey, Celeste. Thanks so much for your message. I just wanted to give you just a quick message back. Sounds like you just landed. Yes. So here's the thing. Just go ahead and submit just like you would in any PTO days in Bamboo HR. Okay. And then I talked with Christy, and we will then, after the fact, she can, in essence, kind of like erase those, meaning so it doesn't, it wouldn't burn up one of your PTO days. Okay. So we'll just do it after instead of doing it in front of. And then two, just so you know, it's very common for employees to take time off, their wellness days, their vacation days, and things like this at the end of the year, because as you know, you can only carry over 5 into the next year. So I think that's probably how you articulate it to people, that you're just recognizing, wow, I had some vacation time built up. I'm going to exercise it before the end of the year. And then that way, you know, nobody's wondering any different. All right. Hey, have a great rest of the evening. Have a great week. And we'll be in touch. Ping me anytime. Texting is probably the fastest if you need anything at all. All right, Celeste. Hey, thanks so much. And we'll talk soon. See ya. Bye.
Very friendly sex traffickers, super upbeat. Just as we traffic you to these different countries for Tim's sexual gratification, let me tell you, it's super kosher. You just X, Y, and Z, cross that out. Thank you so much, sweetheart. It just, especially a Utah accent. Does anyone just hear the Utah accent coming through? Just
it sounds like a second counselor, like call to like, hey, we would love to put you in this calling or position.
It does.
You know, I know it'd be a lot, you know, asking for a sacrifice, you know, and that's what he was doing. He's like, you know, we really want you to put those hours under your personal time off. Oh, we would love to pay you, but we would be so appreciative of your service. Your service is so appreciated. And yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then there's so many different people and players at OUR who knew what Tim was doing, that women would come complaining to them. It was something that was ongoing, long established all throughout the lawsuit. There's plenty of different pieces of allegations and evidence of how many people were all involved in this. And never forget the name Matt Cooper, Coop, as he's called. He basically Tim's right-hand man at OUR. And another portion of the lawsuit, the women allege Tim Ballard would sexually assault them in private settings where Matt Cooper would be present or nearby, ready to provide false testimony if necessary. And he's every podcast where Tim is like, did I ever sex traffic anyone? Did I ever assault someone? Literally, it's just like, there's Matt Cooper going like, no, we never did anything wrong in every setting. It's like, who's to say one of your lackeys on your gravy train? I'm sure they're gonna tell the honest truth, whether they participated in it or they're covering for you. People knew that Tim was very sick and corrupted, but went along with it for their own gain and benefit. So
Matt Cooper would take a bullet for Tim, and he's known inside as Kronk, not openly, but you know Kronk from the Emperor's New Groove with whoever that supervillain was. He's kind of just this big dumb henchman that would do the dirty work and never question what was going on. And that's who Matt Cooper is. Mm-hmm. He's Kronk, picture Kronk. And I don't know what's going on there, because when I met Matt, probably 2012, 2013 or something, when he came involved, there's a story behind there, and I don't know what it is, but Tim brought Matt on and wanted him to, you know, be his kind of right-hand man, do all sorts of stuff for him. And he didn't really have any skills or any abilities that were helpful. In fact, he got in the way a lot of the times. However, I confronted Tim. I was like, so why are you having Matt you know, run all of this stuff? And why are you giving him those responsibilities? He's like, well, I made a promise to Matt that.
Oh, you're going to share this story. Wow. Okay. Go ahead.
I made a promise to Matt that I would take care of him for the rest of his life. And it had something to do with a traumatic brain injury that Matt went through. And I don't know the story behind that. I didn't look into it. I didn't ask anybody about it, but there's something that happened in their past where they are tied in a way that they don't want to talk about. But they're tied in a way that also creates these bonds of loyalty. And if Tim needs anybody to bury a body for him, then Matt's the guy.
Mm-hmm. And do we know what Matt's background is?
I don't know that he has. I don't know. I don't know about Matt's background. No. Mm-hmm. But that's why you see, like, on the Instagram posts, you know, Tim's like, we saved all these kids, right, Matt? And he turns the camera to Matt, and Matt's like, oh, yeah, Sasha is totally preventing all these kids from being saved. And he's just like, he's just the NPC for Tim, a personal NPC that will say and do anything that he wants, including probably bearing false witness. And we'll see if that's the case when these things go to trial, if he'll back Tim up or if he'll tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Remains to be seen.
Yeah. Except for, whoa, Kronk had a redemption arc, which is true.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully Matt will too.
Oh yeah.
Not too late.
It's all coming together.
Yeah.
So let's get into, one of the biggest things that had my jaw on the floor. You've waited long enough. Let's show the people. So, gonna switch over to this tab. So this is about the money laundering and the prostitutes. And so MS Williams money laundering, Ballard would allegedly hire prostitutes as part of his illicit activities using funds that were funneled through MS Williams and Company LLC and involving financial contributions or assistance from defendant Porenta. The use of cash from these sources allowed Ballard to obscure the transactions, making it difficult to trace payments linked to his misconduct. The cash flow facilitated his exploitation of women while maintaining the facade of legitimate anti-trafficking operations under the guise of the couple's ruse. The 990 forms filed by OUR reveal significant payments made to MS Williams for, quote, operation support. Specifically, in the 2023 filing, MS Williams & Company, LLC, is listed as having received $1,510,262 from OUR. $1.5 million funneled, money laundered, through an account to clean up the money that then was in turn paid over to prostitutes for Tim in what he describes as, you know, best case scenario. We need to hire prostitutes, sex workers, escorts, massage parlors. We got to give them money to get some intel on where the kids are. But as it turns out, Tim was doing things to, you know, get sexual gratification from them, or as far as he could go with them in the various cities that he was traveling to. And a lot of reports that Tim is an alcoholic and that he's paying strip clubs and various different things, all under the guise that he's doing it to save the kids. But he's very sick and depraved within himself and doing this, whether with the victims or with escorts, with this widow's mite donor money in all these cases, paying not just to what we know, Ryan. I still put my stake in the ground that I don't think that he's really rescued a single child with, like, the money. I'm waiting to see if anyone's come forward. So with the millions of dollars, he's spent more money supporting, sex industries than taking kids out of them. So. Yeah.
And that figure is so huge. $1.5 million. When I saw that, I'm like, Tim expects us to believe that he has spent so many days, hours, months with prostitutes to the tune of $1.5 million in payments towards prostitutes, but he is completely morally clean, and nothing has ever happened. inappropriate according to his, you know, Mormon beliefs and things like that. He really expects us to believe that. I mean, that's a pretty big stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Hard for me to believe, you know, especially, I mean, considering that he's in hotel rooms by himself, paying prostitutes up to $1.5 million over the last 10 years or less. How many operations have they done? Let's say they've done 50 operations. That's paying prostitutes hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, or tens of thousands of dollars for each operation. Those prostitutes are being paid for their services. And then if they don't perform those services, that is a huge red flag that these guys aren't the tourists, the sex tourists that they claim to be. It almost like defies reason that you would pay all that money and then not get the services that were promised and expect you to not be outed as a cop or something that, you know, if he gets the intel, but not done, doesn't get the services that he paid for. I don't know. How does that work?
It's kind of like he goes and let's say he goes into a massage parlor, whether with a couple's ruse, female partner or not. Let's say his best case intentions is, you know, to go in there and to ask them, do you guys have any kids around? I want something kind of younger. Let's get some young chicas in here. And he's trying to prime them for some intel. They don't have anything. And he's like, well, as long as I'm here, no one's going to know if I walk out of here with a hand job. Like, that's kind of what I think the evidence shows, especially from like the text messages and from the allegations that are laid out from the women in this lawsuit. That, for instance, there's a story that Krista Casey tells where he was like insanely outraged. Him wanted to go to a kind of sex parlor, a massage parlor in like New York City in between while they were flying to a different location, and their flight got moved and he was screaming on the phone. He was so mad. And she's kind of like, why is he so mad? Like, it was supposed to be just like a mini training in between. And so he goes through all these hoops. He calls up every single massage parlor, like in Salt Lake City. And he finally finds one that is open. He goes there. He's just like, I'll pay you $500 for a couple's massage right now. And apparently there wasn't even two tables. Krista and Tim had to be on the same table at the same time. And then he's flirting, you can say flirt, with the massage therapist, you know, asking like, do you ever get busy with your clients? And he's like telling Krista, you should tell her to take off her clothes. And she's like, I'm not going to have some innocent woman like be part of our training exercise or whatever. But the woman like said that she would give Tim a happy ending. And so he got super angry at Krista. And he's like, how dare you like question me? Like, she wanted to give me a happy ending. Therefore, she is as evil as they come. So she should be subject to us telling her to strip down right now. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, if it's under a training, whatever it is, if he can say this person's guilty by association of doing something just like, you know, a happy ending in kind of like a sexy massage parlor, therefore she's guilty as it comes. And she is part of this evil enclave of sex traffickers. Is that massage parlor worker? Is that woman some Vietnamese 5 foot tall woman or something from that's working, you know, 12 hours a day massaging nasty men? Is she really the person you're going after, Tim, who's like the sex traffickers? So no matter what, I just feel like the money and the intentions of the donors that's given to Tim is 1,000% mismanaged. And then you add this money laundering on top of it. Like, he's wants to do power plays with the women, and then he wants to do power plays with just these kind of like, I'm going to say innocent sex workers, because, you know,
it's their job.
It's their job. And they're not traffickers. They're not enslaving people. They're people who are trying to make an extra couple bucks by, honestly, from people like Tim Ballard, who, as it turns out, outside of any kind of operation, any kind of intel gathering situation, they're making money from you, Tim Ballard. They're making money from people just like you. Women who are married to men who know their husbands are skeezy and don't take off all their clothes and perform certain sex acts. Like, there's plenty of women just like Tim who don't have like the happiest marriages and, you know, all kinds of reasons that men like Tim, and the spectrum is wide is what I'm saying. I'm pro-sex work, but I'm saying the spectrum is wide. And Tim's like, only the skeeziest people go to sex traffickers and sex workers, and only the skeeziest people participate in it. And I'm like, there's a spectrum, but you seem like the guiltiest of all. You're on the, don't involve all these people in your gross work, Tim. So the money laundering to the tune of $1.5 million is gross, but to really narrow this picture, paint it in your head so it's not ambiguous, I'm going to go ahead and play an audio clip from Tim's lawyer explaining how his semen got onto the skirt of his executive assistant, Celeste Boris. The Utah County Crime Lab did confirm that it is indeed his DNA. So then, you know, Tim's story has had to change many, many times. And it's very interesting what his lawyer's defense is.
Yeah, let's go through those changes real fast, because that's a really good point. Because first off, he said that he wasn't involved sexually whatsoever with, you know, his partners. That was the first excuse, right? And then he came out and said, what was the second one? The second story, I'm trying to remember, he has like three different versions of this. The second one was Janet Russin saying, yeah, well, Tim shared a suitcase with Celeste. And so some of his stuff may have been there and got on her skirt from that. That was the second excuse. And now this is the third iteration of that story.
Also, back up just a second. When he was on Last Dispensations podcast, he just breezed right by that, where he's like, people can just make up anything that they want. Like, you can put anything in a lawsuit that you want. And it's like, yeah, technically you can say anything you want in a lawsuit. He just conveniently forgot. It's like, wait a second. Utah County Crime Lab can't just like make up anything that they want. So he was saying that just there's nothing to it. They just made that up, conveniently forgetting the evidence. So once people are like, but what about this? Yeah, the story has had to change. So, all right, let me pull this up.
Number three. I'm sure it's going to change more times. So
I have it. Where is it?
While you're bringing that up, yeah, we don't mean to disparage massage therapists by any means. What is so disturbing about this story is that Tim has prayed himself as a righteous Mormon Latter-day Saint, and that is squeaky clean and a hero, an American hero, and raising money under that character, when in fact he's more Brian Black, his alter ego, than he is the Tim Ballard author, Deseret Book number one author. And that's what's so deceptive, because think about it. If you're somebody that has heard the cause of anti-human trafficking, wants to save kids, have scraped together whatever meager funds you have to donate to this guy and this organization. And I know people that didn't have very much, but gave, you know, $5, $10 here, whatever they were able to scrape together from very meager income streams to help this. If they knew that their money was going to pay high-end strippers, high-end prostitutes, and for Tim's own personal gratification, or for the other people that were working in OER, you know, the Matt Coopers that are also meeting with prostitutes, that their money that they sacrificed for were going to those people and not actually helping kids in any way, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a problem. That's fraud. And that's mm-hmm. why this lawsuit also makes allegations of fraud.
Yeah. And before I play that, since you brought that up, I just want to add this real quick, just so people know that I'm not clickbaiting you or something. Because on the thumbnail for this, I wanted to include this escort from Mexico City. This is what she looks like. La, va, voom. And Matt Osborne, I guess he'd be the CEO of OUR at the time. Maybe still is. This is, there's a whole part of the lawsuit in a different filing, different one that I've gone through in other videos about how he would take her out with donor money. And, you know, they're practicing tantric yoga, couples massages, lap dances, strip clubs, all kinds of things with, you know, very beautiful women. And this kind of infamous text right here where it says, this is Matt O up in the room if you need anything. Do you have the Wi-Fi password, blah, blah, blah. And he says, I'll be in soon. Is that okay? Would you rather be with her alone? What's working best? Give me 20 more minutes, please. And yeah, the allegations here and the evidence really point to that this was not just Tim Ballard, but you know, looks like Matt Cooper, Matt Osborne, various other people at OUR also participating in the couple's ruse, whether with, you know, Mormon moms from Utah or hiring escorts under the guise that they're getting some kind of intel from them, but also just getting their rocks off in 5-star hotel rooms and mm-hmm. yeah, paying a lot of money into the sex industry.
Yeah, I know we're making some assumptions here, but all of this is going to be, you know, hashed out in court. This is just setting the stage for what these discussions are going to look like and the accusations that are going to be made.
Yeah. It's just, it's a widespread thing across, well, you know, different various of these Mormon men having an alternative way to save the kids that embolden them to be able to commit the crimes that I think that they did. So this is called Tim Ballard's attorney admits Tim's sperm probably is on victim's skirt.
But there's a really good reason. We got a new reason. We've ran this through the correlation department and we got a better reason.
Yeah.
Reason number three.
I wish we weren't live right now because there's a question I want to ask you, Ryan, if we're allowed to say something that is so damning about the skirt. No, okay. Just checking.
There. We can't go there yet.
All right.
What was happening there was Mr. Ballard was going with Julie, this high-end escort, not to a hot tub, but to a pool. It was a hotel, a very nice hotel, Ritz-Carlton. They're going, a public pool. And they're going to this pool. It's heated, it's indoor, it's heated, obviously it's a nice, but it's public. Many other guests are there. And he's got her at this pool alone, but obviously in a public setting, trying to get her to disclose this information. And she kind of indicates that she's willing to, but there's cameras around, we're out in public, I don't want to. So they say, okay. And so he says, let's go up to the bedroom. Now, there were three rooms, two normal, yes.
I'm not sure this is something she is, well, it might be, you know, part of the 30 list.
Yes, it's the semen.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, so right. I'm just telling you where
so
this.
It was the same skirt and the semen was somewhere else.
Correct. Yes. And again, we haven't been given the skirt or the semen of the test results. I'm just telling you, there was one incident where it could have and probably did.
All right. Then tell me that incident.
Yeah. So he called her and Matt Cooper, who's here today, and said, hey, give me a little bit of time with her alone in the room. And she says that they voluntarily vacated the room and let him go up there. That's because that was part of their plan. They didn't say, no, Tim, don't bring her up here. You can't do that. They let him do it. Because he was trying to get information out.
I jumped to page 11, so I guess.
Okay. you're moving faster than me. Thank you. So he and by the way, what she says has obviously part truths and part untruths in it. But what she says at page 11, as you saw, is he takes her up there. He gets the information out of her. And she concedes that in her write-up here. He actually gets the information out of her. But the problem is she now wants to have sex. And the whole point of couples ruse, the whole point, he can go to these places and investigate and have sex with prostitutes all day long if he wants to. The whole point of the couples ruse is to avoid sexual contact.
I'm trying to pause there because I hate when Tim says that. I hate when his lackeys and his advocates say that. Yeah, that's one interpretation. Sure. Like the couple's ruse is so they could avoid sexual contact. It's also so that they could be under the guise of avoiding sexual contact while having sexual contact. Do you think I was born yesterday?
Yeah. And to prepare for that, we need to do tantric massages together, erotic massages together back at HQ to prepare for our non-sexual contact.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention in text messages, I can pull them up right now. I have them in front of me. Tim says explicitly to his couples ruse partners that he's grooming through text message that he's a demisexual. I had to look that up. I thought I was with it. I didn't know what that was. That means he explains to them he can't do anything with somebody unless he has a connection with them. Oh, would you look at that? He's building sexual chemistry and a connection with all of his couples ruse partners so that he could potentially be able to get his rocks off. Like, what he even says in his text messages fall right in line with his own like opposite of a defense for himself. Like if we put all these things together in concert, Tim, you are outing yourself. You said that you can't be with somebody unless you have a sexual connection. So no, like people on Last Dispensations podcast and stuff, this whole like, oh my gosh, like he could just go have sex with anybody if he actually wanted to. how many times we have to tell you sexual assault, rape, all of those kinds of things have much more to do with power than sexual gratification, as evidenced by Tim's longstanding, you know, evidence all corroborating various women's stories of the same type of spiritual power, you know, all the way up to rape because of the power that he holds and he imbues over these women wanting to do something like save the kids. It's a power play, much more than a sexual gratification play. Can I just like shake all human beings over the internet right now who are listening to me to understand it's much more complicated than just that.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody that I talked to that was actually interviewed for the Mike Baker article, but didn't appear in that, who is working with, who is somewhat of an expert in this industry or works with experts in sexual assault, really advised that you can't look at the sexual assault as purely something of, for the purpose of gratification, that there's definitely that, and that's definitely an element of it, but being able to manipulate people to do something that is so far against their own personal morals and integrity. There are sick and twisted people out there that get a rush out of doing that.
Like P. Diddy, like the P. Diddy case.
Right.
Did P. Diddy have sex with any woman he wanted to? Yes. But did he get off on doing much more wild, insane, mm-hmm. disgusting things? Yes. Mm-hmm. Like, go ahead. Yeah,
exactly. And I also, I want to point out a comment that I saw in the sidebar that his lawyer seems super sleazy and sketchy like that. Yeah, one comment that I wanted to point out in his defense, he's like, yeah, well, this escort, this person, you know, she says some truths or some as well as some untruths. He's cherry picking her testimony to give, you know, a twisted version of events that paints Tim in a different light. And he's already preparing people to believe some things, but not believe the other things that she's saying. So, yeah, that is skeezy. What is that? Sketchy and sleazy together. Is that skeezy? I like mm-hmm. that word. Let's use it.
Yeah. Shannon Peterson. Are you my cousin Shannon Peterson or a different Shannon Peterson? She says, wait, what? She was ravenously assaulting Tim, who was so set to avoid sin, he ejaculated on her skirt. And also, newsflash, not every person in sexual encounters can or wants to even have those means to that end. They can just say, no, I can't. I'm too nervous. There's a million reasons Tim could have come up with that he could not finish, so to mm-hmm. speak. He did not use any of those. So yeah. Something went down. And, you know, the idea that her skirt was just like on the ground and he like used it to clean up, or like, obviously, first of all, that's rude. That is inconsiderate. That's mean. Maybe that's a kink of yours, Tim, but bare minimum, if I go along with your story, Tim, that is rude. Do not do that to another person's clothes. Second of all, this is all part of, you know, Celeste, correct me if I'm wrong, the semen ended up there because of a sexual assault, not because she was absent and it just happened to be on her skirt. Like, he wants to act like she wasn't even in the room. She was somewhere safe. And I just happened to be with a prostitute alone, jacking off on her skirt. You know, that thing that is totally kosher. And like, this is not going to go well for you, Tim. Yeah. No matter what version of the story, it's not going to go well for you.
And Tim Skeezy lawyer, the you paused it on, he's starting to try and rebuild Tim's moral authority, his righteousness, yeah. his hero status, by stating that he's super faithful to his wife. He would never consider doing anything that would not be appropriate. But I think we got some more comment, some mm-hmm. more of this yeah. audio clip to play, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Let me finish up this clip. I'll just rewind it a second.
And she concedes that in her right up here. He actually gets the information out of her. But the problem is she now wants to have sex. And the whole point of couples rules, the whole point, he can go to these places and investigate and have sex with prostitutes all day long if he wants to. The whole point of the couples rules is to avoid sexual contact. He is very loyal to his wife. He is very loyal to his family.
So when he masturbated, your position is that it got on the skirt.
He was in her room. He used her skirt to do it. And that's the all excuse right. he used with the prostitute.
Okay. Story number three. Oh man, there's stuff that there's stuff that I wish I could comment on, but I can't. But that's story number three. I don't know. Do you have an analysis? This is we probably should have put like some sort of rated R rating at the beginning of this because it got it gets very sexual very fast. And but hopefully everybody's a mature audience that we can talk about this. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Obviously, from the beginning to this exact moment right now, all I'll say is Tim's lawyers are just so desperately begging that people are stupid. Like, will this work? Could we just, what if we say that we saved kids through like this couple's ruse thing? You guys don't know how it works. I do. Like, Tim's, they're just using the stupidity of their audience that they've banked for so long, where they're like, they're still gas in that stupid tank. Like, you guys will still believe us. You're like, no, no, sweet baby cakes. Keep changing your story. The evidence is piling up, corroborating through various different women. So many OUR insiders from the way Tim mismanages money, this money laundering, the sex assaults, all of his famous friends from Sean Reyes to Glenn Beck, Eric Mustos, everyone's dropped him. All he's got left is, I don't know, the Last Dispensation podcast with like, I don't know, 5,000 subscribers. It's just, oh, the Jenga tower has collapsed and is falling down, but his judge is still like, is this working? There's lawyers like, could we? But I don't know, maybe he'll get a jury. They're going to have a jury. Maybe they'll get a jury and one person on the jury will, you know, not think that he's guilty, I guess, because they'll fall for that. But I cannot believe that this is their argument that they're going with. But here we are.
Yeah, it's just the latest argument. The story, I'm sure, will change before it actually goes to trial. But the sad, the funny, not funny, the sad reality of things, what you say is they are banking on people being stupid. And in the court of public opinion, there's a lot of people that obviously see through it. Everybody in our comments sees through it. They have their thinking caps on. However, if you read, you know, Tim Ballard's Instagram and some of the pro Tim Ballard channels and podcasts that he appears on, there is still a massive amount of following of people that absolutely will refuse to acknowledge that anything other than a royal righteous crusader could be the story. They will not accept it. And it's like this cognitive dissonance, this rose-colored lens that they're looking everything through. They will take any sort of evidence, even Tim's own words, you know, and say, and come up with some sort of mental gymnastics in their own head to say that this can't be what it is, because Tim is my hero. He is a righteous guy. He's involved in the noble thing. He has the endorsement of the church and Elder Ballard, and they have for 10 years revered this guy and will not allow him to fall from that pedestal in their own mind. And there's a lot of people like that. You read those comments, they're like, we're with you, Tim. We defend you. We know they're all lies. They're, you know, you will triumph in the end. That kind of stuff. So, I mean, I don't want to call those people stupid because they're not, but they've been conditioned to accept only one version. Then that version is the one that Tim is feeding them. And that's a very dangerous position. That's a very manipulative cult-like method of operating and controlling your audience.
Yeah. Speaking of, well said, and speaking of using the cult word, I just got a text message from Stephen Hassan, cult expert, you know.
The bite model guy, right?
Bite model guy. I have a video on my channel I did with him a while ago, and he's back in town. And he texted me today, and we might do a video together this weekend. We'll see.
That'd be awesome. I'd love to see him break down. Is Tim a cult leader, according to his model, which is an internationally accepted standard for identifying cults, and is OUR ran like a cult? And I think there's overwhelming evidence to support that. But I'd be interested to see if he would agree with that. That'd be a very
fun interview. I'd love to pick his brain on that. Life is good. I'm never better when Stephen Hassan texts me out of the blue. So One last thing that I would love to go through, because I haven't spent as much time reading some of the text messages to spell things out as I would like to. So I have a final thing that's also going to lead out to a slam dunk point that I'm going to make for all of you. So I want to put this out there for you guys to see. And let's see, is this what I want? So this is an example of just some of the grooming and the very kind of like sexually explicit language back and forth with Tim. And this is, I believe this is Krista Casey. Don't quote me on that, but she's seems to be like a very devoted kind of Mormon mom who's never sworn or like missed family prayer study, you know, and looks up to Tim. And these text messages within the lawsuit, which is linked below in the description, you can read the whole thing yourself, really spells out, you know, the type of admiration that she had for him. Again, similar to the other women. And then this kind of sexually explicit language that they were doing that cannot just fall under that we were dirtying up our phones, like Tim says. So I'm going to read these and I'm going to try to do two different voices so you can tell which is which. So Tim says to her, well, she says, first of all, that she got a Brazilian out of his request before they go on a couple's ruse thing. And she hated having her pubic hair ripped out. Don't we all? And she's like, you're going to have to pay me back for that. And then he's like, I actually want to pay you back in a different way. Emoji. That's more on target with Brazilian. She says, you really just leveled it up with that one. I know. Shit. I'm sorry. I was like, was that okay? After I sent it, be honest. What did you think when you read that very inappropriate text? This is textbook grooming. I'm sorry. If you're in a, like, if you find somebody on a dating app and you're like, is this going to move in a sexual direction? That would make sense because that is the nature of this relationship. This is supposed to be a relationship that's a working relationship. And he's talking about her private parts and trying to push the boundaries very clearly when he says, what did you think of that? Would I go too far? Should I keep going farther? He says, no uncomfort. I want to be respectful, still feeling you out. And then he does like this like funny wannabe satirical thing where he's like, if somebody finds this phone in the future, he says, this is so indicative of like, how dare you guys, like I said, dictate the type of rescue a child needs because we're being dirty in our conversation right here. And if you're going to condemn me in the future for that, then F all you guys. So then he says to her, listen, motherfuckers of the near future who did a full forensic of Heidi's laptop after she sent this on the 12th undercover op. We're getting into roll, bitches. This is how it's done. This case is Bernardo Costumel, motherfucker, is selling children for sex. Look up the case, you fucks. We likely will have rescued a bunch by the time you see these texts. So fuck you. What have you done ever to rescue anyone or anything? Heidi is a fucking hero, and I will not let you piss on her grave. And she laughs at that and says, oh, that was amazing. Wait, am I going to die on my 12th op? Can I at least do 21st? And he said, he thinks he's pretty funny. He thinks that was pretty hot shit. And he says, did I make you pee on your newly waxed skin? It was intense. Okay.
This is on his personal phone, folks. Personal. This is not on a burner phone. This is personal phone going to the personal phone of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just to spell that out, he even says right here, he tells her sometimes to delete the text and he says, actually, I'll get you a burner tomorrow.
Whoops. Should have done that earlier. Yeah. This looks really bad. And what this shows to me is like, it's Brian Black talking, you know, his undercover alter ego personality. That's a really total D-bag, disgusting sex tourist looking for kids. How much of Tim's actual personality and character is Tim Ballard, the Righteous Deseret book number one author, and how much of it is actually Brian Black? You know, where is that line? And I don't think there is a line. There's this gray area, but in this text message, you see him go from being the Tim Ballard in morphing, like within the message, into Brian Black, just this cussing, disgusting, accusatory, vile, violent person. And then he switches back into Tim Ballard. It's almost like there's a split personality disorder. But I don't think that's going on. What's going on is simply, you know, he's pushing the edges and boundaries, what he can get away with, what before he repulses her.
Yep.
And keeps her, you know, and if she doesn't get repulsed and keeps engaging in this conversation, then he can escalate it and groom her and manipulate her into further escalations, sexual encounters. Mm-hmm. It all starts with the grooming that happens in text messages verbally before it gets mm-hmm. physical. So that's right. What's going on.
Right. This is pretty much any basic conversation you could ask any woman who's ever blocked a man on a dating app, what led up to that? Stuff like, anyway. So yeah. Another small example would be, so he says, she says, sorry to scare you. And he says there at the bottom, I like being scared. It makes me feel sexy too. Some of us know what we like, because throughout a lot of the conversation, he's asking her, you know, what she likes. Like, she's like, I like more romantic things. And they're having a lot of conversations about how to build their chemistry. And he's just laying it on thick what he likes. And she's kind of more timid about it, but it's definitely a sexually kind of explicit, especially on his end, kind of conversation. And then he says, delete, delete, delete. And this is, again, I wanted to explain the type of kind of grooming from a spiritual giant perspective. She says, you know what else is funny? I don't think I've ever learned so much from any other single person in my entire life. I've studied and listened to and watched you for so long, and with such a desire to keep learning from you, and then this, and it will just keep going. And then he says, I hope I don't mess up and say anything that are wrong. I promise I'm trying my hardest. And she says, don't worry about that. I just needed to be able to trust you this much, and now I can. She says, I trust him, capital H-I-M, and I trust you. So that is just 5% of the overall picture that I'm trying to paint for you. But you know what Tim has to say to all of this? When he's, you know, Ryan, list off as many as you can while I get something ready for 5 seconds of the things that are in these text messages, the things that Tim is doing with these escorts, on and on the list goes. But you know what Tim says to that?
He has.
Oh, I got it for you. He says that.
All these weird and crazy things that I'm being quoted as saying, that's my undercover persona, whether it's in a training text, or in undercover text messages. These are undercover conversations that have to be dirty. It's not me saying it.
Wow.
Timmy said what?
Wasn't me. What's that song? It wasn't me. That 90s song. It wasn't me. It was Brian Black, the Alter Ego. And I have to be doing these things. Like, really? Mm-hmm. You have to be saying these things. Okay.
What, Tim? So his very best defenses are just adorable excuses of maybe like what a 12-year-old boy thinks about sexuality and what kind of lies they can get away with. But we'll have to wait and see. Like we said at the beginning, this whole case is very disheartening for somebody like me and Ryan and, you know, all of us who genuinely care about ending things like sex trafficking and exploitation of any kind. And it just, you know, doing so much work in the opposite direction that will have long-term ramifications of actually helping to end this, you know, billions, trillions a year kind of industry. So well done, Tim Ballard. You really made a name for yourself. But we'll have to see how the case progresses. And Ryan, you want to leave the people with anything else? You can get in your final comments and super chats now.
I don't know. I feel like this is really watching history unfold right before us. And it comes on the, you know, the Me Too movement, you know, which just happened, just started, but still going on. This is like a new iteration of that, because it goes into spiritual and religious grooming and manipulation, which hasn't been discussed, like, as far as I'm aware, you know, in the realm of sexual assault very often. And so I think this is like such an important conversation to have. Like, whatever happens in the cases, you know, happens. That's going to happen. That's going to go down. But the conversation that we're having right now, if you read the comments from all of our videos, This is a really important conversation because religious and spiritual manipulation by people in positions of power is very, very prevalent. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it in my own personal life. And I know lots of people that have been victims of people using religious and spiritual manipulation and positions of power to coerce, groom, manipulate, and get women to do things that under normal circumstances, they would not be willing to do. And so this conversation, I just can't feel, I mean, it's disgusting. I don't want to be talking about this. I'd rather be doing so many other things, mm-hmm. but it needs to be talked about. It's a really, really important conversation. So mm-hmm. please continue the conversation in the chat and share your experiences and identify these patterns, because once girls and women understand the patterns, you can see it and stop it easier. And stand mm-hmm. up. No, I recognize you. You're a predator. I'm going to not participate in this mm-hmm. and not go down the path to the point where they are actually sexually assaulted. So hopefully this, I hope that this conversation, independent of the legislation, independent of Tim Ballard's crimes, will be something that will help, you know, my daughters and other women in our society understand these patterns and sure. hopefully keep them safe. In the long
Thank
run.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I have daughters. You have daughters. It's, you know, important cause for all of us to mm-hmm. you know, stop the exploitation as a human race, but also, yeah, we, Ryan and I are in this for the long haul and hopefully have mm-hmm. The funds come in. We would love more donations so we can get paid for doing these podcasts, because we spend an inordinate amount of time researching yeah. this, collecting things, talking to witnesses, a lot of interviews that we hope we can release in the future. Kind of dependent on what is most like advantageous for the plaintiffs of the lawsuit. So mm-hmm. stick with us, guys. Subscribe to the channel. We have a donor box because I have a 501c3 nonprofit that all donations are tax deductible. It would mean the world to us if we could get some more donations, whether it's $5, $15, $50 one time, or a reoccurring monthly donation. It would be amazing. And a Patreon, showed you a clip from it. Patreon for Timmy Did What is down below, where we post more exclusive evidence that's given to us that we don't want to always share with the general public, but that's a great way to support the channel. And we will just have to see you guys another time when there's, unfortunately, the what's just keep coming of what Timmy mm-hmm. is doing. But that's it for this episode. And we'll see you back here, I think, next week with another episode of
Timmy Did What podcast.
No.
No.
Stop wetting me.
Yeah.